afternoon. Welcome to the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision session. And this afternoon, we are very fortunate to have with us Dr. Bill Tkesta, who is the Director of Optometric Services at the Center for the Partially Sighted. And he has brought a colleague with him, and they are going to talk about technology for persons with low vision. Dr. Tkesta, are you here?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. How many people are still here, huh? Oh, well, we really appreciate you staying. We know it's a long afternoon and happy hour is about to begin, but we hope today that we'll be able to share with you some of the information about the latest in technology with respect to low vision. Today I also brought with me Dr. Brett Nagatani. And Dr. Nagatani, he actually runs the assistive technology program at the Center for the Partially Sighted. And so a lot of you are probably wondering, you know, why is this other guy walking Dr. Bill down here? You know, I just wanted you to show y'all what did I look like 25 years ago when I was taller and thinner and had hair. But what we're going to talk about, you know, I think this afternoon's session was very, very interesting because it does talk so much about this whole concept of technology. And Bernice, you know, I want to thank Bernice for having me speak again. And a lot has changed for me personally since the last time I spoke to you. Presently, I'm totally blind now in my left eye, and in my right eye, I could really only see the sun. You know, lights like that are indoors here, I can no longer see. But through all of this, I've really spent a lot of time and a lot of money investigating different types of technology. And I think this is something that's really been very helpful for us at the Center for the Partially Sighted because we've been able to increase the amount of technology that we do have. And for those of you who are clients of the Department of Rehab, we want you to know that if you do come for a technology assessment at the Center for the Partially Sighted, we do have the best of the best. So in other words, you'll be able to try and actually spend time, you know, hours. If you have an appointment with Dr. Nagatani, you'll have 2 hours to actually try the different types of technology so that the two of you together would make the decision as what is the best technology for you. So we're going to start out today talking about some of the low vision technology. How many of you here still have vision? Clap your hands. Okay, great. And how many of you have a driver's license? Okay. Well, one of the things that, you know, the DMV has really made some changes, and they really are being more aware of the different components of vision. Before, they primarily wanted to know what was your visual acuity and what was your peripheral vision. But what we find is that for a lot of people who have low vision, you know, these are really not the determining factors as to whether or not you have sufficient vision to drive a car. We find that, again, many children who have been born with congenital vision problems, they do have a high level of vision that allows them to be able to ride a bike, or they ride snowmobiles, or they're going to, you know, drive a boat, or all these other things that they do on the weekend. So there are some changes in the laws in which the only rule is that if a person's visual acuity with glasses is 20/200 or worse, then you are not eligible to take the test. But on the other hand, they are now aware that there are new types of charts. When you go to a conventional eye doctor, the chart is such that there is a big E, which is the 20/200, and the next letter is 20/100. So if your vision happens to lie any place in between that, you'll automatically fail. But with the new charts now, we can measure whether or not your vision is 20 over 120, 20 over 140, 20 over 160, or 20 over 180. And by being tested on these special types of charts, you can be eligible to then be fit with what are called bioptic telescopes. Now, there's been some advances in the field of bioptic telescopic design, where there's a couple of new telescopes from Designs for Vision and another one that's called an Ocutec type of a telescope. And these types of telescopes do allow a lot of people to pass the driving requirements when they take the road test. Now, with these particular types of telescopes, the patient is not looking through these telescopes all the time, but it's just something that they'll spot through when they're going to be trying to identify a street sign or a traffic signal. Another type of advancement is that there's some new lenses now. And when we talk about the new technological advances, we don't mean just everything that's new. Every year at the trade show, there's just hundreds and hundreds of things that are new. But it's only, you know, very, very infrequent that there are some new devices that are really dramatically improved and can help people with low vision to see better. One of the types of lenses are something that's called a diffractive lens. And with a diffractive lens, a person who might have normally worn a very, very thick pair of glasses like Coke bottles, we have wafer-thin glasses. And with these particular types of glasses, a person can have glasses that are going to be much more comfortable. It gives a much better peripheral vision. It's going to have less distortion. And obviously, it's going to be much more cosmetically appealing. So the diffractive optic lens is something that's very, very helpful for people who might have had cataract surgery and could not have an implant. And it's also helpful for people who have macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy, and they're just basically having difficulties with reading small print. Another type of a lens that's come out is something that's called a Trivex lens material. And one of the properties in optics is something that we call the optical quality, or something called an Abbe value. Well, with a Trivex lens, we can get the highest level of types of bending of light into the eye to help people to see much more effectively. And these lenses are very, very thin, they're very lightweight, and they also protect the eyes against the harmful rays of the sun. So if you're seeing your optometrist or your ophthalmologist, you might want to ask them about these two different types of lens materials. One of them is a diffractive lens, and another one is called the Trivex lens. You're also going to hear some commercials that are coming out now, and this is talking about anti-reflective coatings. And with an anti-reflective coating, this is another way of letting more light into the eye. So if you have difficulties with your vision because of glaucoma or cataracts or retinitis pigmentosa, these types of anti-reflective coatings could really improve the quality of light, which allows you to see details much more clearly. And as a result of these types of lens materials, a phenomenon of what is called contrast sensitivity is something that could also be improved. What the researchers are now finding is that probably more important than visual acuity is a test that's called contrast sensitivity. And what contrast sensitivity does is it measures how well a person is able to see different shades of gray. So, for example, I realized when my vision started to deteriorate, it was more and more difficult for me to actually see the steps and curves. You know, a lot of times they just look like a ramp, and I would trip and stumble and fall, and my kids would think I was funnier than Steve Martin. You know, Dad, you're so funny. But, you know, at that point I realized, you know, that was my contrast sensitivity being reduced. And we now do have different types of filters. There's special types of filters that can actually enhance the contrast to be able to see steps and curves. One of these types of filters is called a melanin polarized lens. And this is really good because it's not so dark that it makes it difficult to see. Another type of a lens that we're also using is something called a KB coat. And with a KB coat polarized lens, these are yellow lenses. And it really has a tremendous effect on contrast if you have cataracts or you've had a vitreous detachment or if you have Stargardt's disease. And with this yellow polarized lens, a lot of target shooters, people who shoot pistols or archers, they will use this type of lens as well. So those are really the main types of optical types of advances. But there's also been some advances in the fields of just magnifiers. We know now that light is probably one of the most critical types of factors with respect to visual function. Without light, we don't see. And if there's too much light, it causes glare and it really makes things very difficult. So now, with a lot of the different types of magnifiers, they're using LED, you know, light-emitting diodes. And with these different types of LEDs, they can be rewired so that you can change what's called a capacitor in there. And by changing the amount of electrical impulse going to these light bulbs, it changes the color of the light. So for a person who might have cataracts, they might actually do a lot better with a little bit more of a yellow lens, a yellow light. Whereas a person who might have glaucoma might do a little bit better if that's going to be a little bit more of a reddish color light. So with these different types of hand magnifiers, we can actually provide different types of illumination. So the Power Mag series of magnifiers is something that we've been able to really help a lot of patients, even with the same power magnification. So for example, a person who might have always used a 4X magnifier, their vision might improve significantly still with a 4X magnifier, but just by changing the light. Now, in the areas of electronic video magnification systems with CCTVs, I would say that this year really hasn't been a real major improvement with just the regular CCTVs. Fortunately, Freedom Scientific, they've been out and they've asked us to consult with them, and we're very pleased that they've taken a lot of the advice that we've had to offer. As a person who was going through low vision and legal blindness and such, I think a lot of the different experiences that I experienced personally, it made me realize that all the things that we were tested on in school and all the things that we were, you know, taught before, they really don't hold true. So much of what I used to teach, a lot of my resident doctors, I now tell them, you know, I was so wrong. A lot of these calculations and formulas and things like that, it's completely wrong. But with the new different types of CCTVs, I would say that the Freedom Scientific Topaz is probably the one that has made the most changes. And with this particular device, they have taken our advice and they have provided the widest field of view, which gives people the ability to glance and to orient themselves on the page. They have also incorporated a dial on there, which you could very quickly and very easily change the contrast. And I think that, again, it shows that as we look at contrast sensitivity, the contrast and the brightness is more important than the amount of magnification. So I think for the CCTVs, our hats go off most to Freedom Scientific for the Topaz. On the other hand, we also know that HumanWare, the My Reader, this is something that they came out with, a My Reader number 2. And we really like the My Reader number 2 just because, again, it works very similar to the Zoom X. We've been working with Andy Kratter and Lena when the Zoom X first came out, and we think it's a tremendously valuable device. The advantage of, again, the HumanWare My Reader is that it is, again, it's a standalone machine. A lot of people don't have a computer, they don't want a computer, or they just want to quickly turn on the button and have it be ready to work. They don't want to wait for a computer to boot up. So with a My Reader, a person's able to place a document, a letter, a piece of mail, a magazine, anything underneath there, press the button, and what it's going to do, it's going to reformat it. So it works very similar to a teleprompter so that the text could be scrolled so the person never has to move the paper, or you never have to move the XY table, which causes a lot of people to get dizzy. You could press the button to a different mode so it will display the text in a left to right pattern, just like a Wall Street ticker. So this is really good for people who have multiple sclerosis and they cannot move the muscles of their eyes. Or it's also very good for people who have Stargardt's or macular degeneration where they have to use an eccentric viewing point. In other words, where they find that they could see a little better if they look slightly above or slightly to the left. Because then they could keep their eyes right on that spot, and then the text will move right there in front of them before their eyes. So we think that that is something that has made a lot of improvements. But the third thing that's came out, I think that's also very helpful, is, you know, we have to be aware that even though technology is improving, it is so expensive. It is so expensive, and it becomes obsolete by the time the next CSUN conference comes out. So this year, Clarity has come out with a new affordable color autofocus CCTV that's under $2,000, and this is called the Clarity Discover. And with the Discovery, we find that it's very, very easy to use. So it's very good for older adults who have macular degeneration because there's just one button for on and off. There's a large dial that changes the size, and there's another button that changes the contrast and the color of the background and foreground. So we think that that's something that really has made the price barrier something that's going to be a little bit more affordable for a lot of the older folks. And, you know, a lot of times when they say, you know what, you know, I really can't afford this and such, a lot of times we remind them, because of the fact that they're not driving, that probably saves them about $200, $200 a month on gasoline and maybe another $100 on insurance. So a lot of times these things that are going to be under $2,000 are something that they can afford. Now, the biggest change in the field of technology has really come this year in the area of portable video magnification systems. And Dr. Nagatani, he has brought three of the latest that we think really are the best of the best out here right now. And these are the Looky, the Optilec Compact, and number three, it's called the Quick Look Zoom. Okay? So without further ado, the young Dr. Bill, Dr. Nagatani.
Good afternoon, everyone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the portable devices that have come out recently, and I'm actually going to pass them around so you guys can actually try it out and get a feel of what they do. In terms of all the portable devices, they, in all honesty, they work very similarly. All of them have a color mode. All of them have a freeze frame feature where you could snap a photo, and all of them have different contrast modes, which we have found that greatly helps a lot of people with various disorders. Where the differences lie are in terms of portability, in terms of writing with them, or in terms of a larger screen. So I'm going to go over each one separately, kind of talk about the main features and talk about what distinguishes it from the other ones. So the first one I'm going to talk about is a little one called the Looky. In terms of size, this one's probably the smallest and the lightest one. And once again, I'll go ahead and pass it around so everyone could take a look at it. Basically, what this is, it has about a 3.5-inch screen. The way it works, it has the feel of kind of like a traditional handheld magnifier, and a lot of people really like that. The way you change the size is basically you bring it closer or further away, and you can get anywhere from 3 to 8 times magnification on it. The nice thing about this one, too, is there's only 2 buttons on it. And to turn the system on, all you have to do is hold one of the buttons down for about 3 or 4 seconds. It'll turn it on. One of the buttons, when you press it, it'll change the different contrast modes. So one mode will be color. You can press it again. It'll make it a real high contrast black and white mode. And if you press it the third time, it'll go into a reverse polarity with everything's black background and white letters. This one is also about $30 cheaper than the other two. I think it runs about $750. So yeah, one button is going to change the contrast. The other button is actually going to take a snapshot photo. So let's say if you're in the grocery store and there's a price up top that you can't really reach, you could go ahead and hold the device up there, press the button, it'll snap a photo. You could bring it up closer and get a look at the price. The second device I'm going to show you is one that's called the Optilec Compact Plus. This one here, this one actually has a little bigger screen. I believe the screen is about 4.5 inches. With this one, you can actually change the magnification level. It works similar to the Looky in that you could bring it closer and further away. But there's also another switch that you can change it 3 different magnification levels up to 10 times magnification. Also, the Looky, that has only 3 different contrast modes. This one has 6 different modes. Another advantage of this one is it has a 3-hour battery life charge as opposed to a 2-hour battery life charge. Okay, I brought the charger too, so. Okay, and unfortunately, I've been told that our Looky, the battery life has kind of died out, but I brought the charger, so I'll plug it in, and we could kind of do a comparison of all of them a little bit later. So the Compact Plus, this one has a little bit bigger screen, but on the downside, it's a little bit heavier than the Looky. And let me go ahead and pass this around. Okay, and the third one I want to talk about is one that's called the Quick Look Zoom. The very first model of Quick Look looked very similar to this one, except it was a little bit heavier. They've gone ahead and made some modifications. I believe the screen is a little bit bigger, but one of the nice things about it is it also has different levels of magnification. And this one you can get up to 18 times magnification. There's 2 little buttons on here which you can use to zoom in and zoom out. And another nice feature about this one that makes it a little bit different from the other two is you could actually turn this camera off to the side and you could use it as a writing tool. So you could put it right off to the side and use it for to actually see to write a little bit better. So what I'll do is I'll kind of go around. I'm going to go ahead and show everyone all the different features, and you guys could take a look at it yourselves.
What's that one called again?
This one is called the Quick Look Zoom. That one is about $800. So the Quick Look Zoom and the Compact Plus are both about $800, and the Lookie is about
$750.
Quick Look is made by...
The Quick Look is available through Freedom Vision. It's distributed by Freedom Vision. The producer? It's an Ash product, A-S-H-E. Okay?
And the
Lookie, you know, I don't know what's the name of it. Andy Crowder, who was here this morning, he is the exclusive dealer for the Lookie. So, we found that these are really the things that have been really most popular with our patients. Now, what we found in terms of anecdotal types of research and just with subjective questioning to our patients and such is that, number one, the Lookie is really a device that's really good for people who really want something that's going to be portable that they could carry in their pocket and purse to do shopping. It really seems to be most effective for something that's shopping. Now, the question is it really worth $800 or $750 as compared to a magnifier? Again, the Lookie will have a magnification between 1x to about 9x, and you could get a magnifier that could magnify that same amount for $50 or $60. But the main advantage is for those people who have low contrast sensitivity, people with retinitis pigmentosa, glaucoma, macular degeneration, when their contrast sensitivity is reduced, that the electronic video magnifiers actually amplify the contrast, so it's something that's going to be much better. Another advantage of the Lookie is that when the batteries die, like they just died here, if you do have AA batteries, you could just pop those in and they do work very, very well. The second one that we had talked about also, which has a handle similar to a hand magnifier called the Compact Plus, that is, again, it's a little bit more expensive, but it does have a lot more features. As Dr. Nagatani was mentioning, if a person does see better with a blue background and yellow letters, it does have those different types of color combinations. It's really a little bit heavier. It's heavier, so I think a lot of the older folks with macular degeneration may not appreciate that quite as much. But with the Compact Plus, you could also fold the handle back, and you could just rest it right on the table. So a lot of students in the classroom could use it as a CCTV and just slide it across the page in that same way. So I think that for just shopping purposes, the Lookie is probably going to be recommended. But if a person does have that dual need to actually place it on their desk or at the library and read things with it, the Compact Plus is probably going to give a little bit more options. It's got a little bit larger screen and more features. I think, and then the third thing is that the Quick Look Zoom is the one that we really recommend for people who need a little bit more magnification, because both the Lookie and the Compact Plus, they only go up to about 9 or 10 times magnification. But the Quick Look Zoom, this one is a little bit larger. It's about a little bit smaller than a videotape. That can go up to about 18 times magnification. Also, again, about $795. Okay. Are there any questions that anybody has about any of these kinds of devices or technology that we talked about so far?
I have a question.
Yes.
Out of those three models, is there any one that's more conducive to more reading?
Yeah, of the three models, which one is most conducive for what type of reading?
Just like, say, if I wanted to read a couple of pages of a book,
continuous reading rather than spotty.
Yeah. I would say that in terms of number one, the first thing would be really to evaluate what is your vision needs. So, for example, if you happen to need something as like 10 or 12 or 14x, then it would be the Quick Look Zoom because it does offer the highest magnification. I think that in terms of the Quick Look Zoom and the Compact Plus, those are also something that are going to have a little bit of a bigger screen. So I think for continuous text reading, it might be something that might give you a wider field of view, which could be something that would be more helpful. Okay. Other questions?
Dr. Tekeshta, you didn't mention is it SenseView? Do you not consider it a viable product?
The question is about the SenseView, and to be honest, we haven't even evaluated that. No, I'm not even familiar with what it is. You want to talk about that, Bernice?
Well, it's from GW Micro, and it weighs about, what did they say, about 4 ounces or 6 ounces, and it has magnification up to 22x.
Okay, did everybody hear that? So what Bernice is saying, there is another company that's called GW Micro, and that's I believe it's a Korean company, and they have a portable video magnifier that weighs about 4 ounces, and it,
I think it's more like 6 or 8 ounces.
Okay, very lightweight, and it magnifies up to 22 times. So no, we haven't tried that yet, and one of the issues of what we do here in Southern California, what we find. For our patients with low vision, especially with older adults with macular degeneration, we feel one of the most important thing is what type of local support. So we haven't been approached by any of the local distributors or local reps yet, but it'll be something that once we do evaluate that, we'll check that out. One of the things, if you're also interested in some of these reviews, on my website, drbillfoundation.org, we do different types of reviews on a lot of these different types of technology that's out and available. Are there any questions on some of these portables or just the desktop CCTVs?
By the way, I've heard good reviews about the accessibility of your website.
Oh, great. Thank you. So, pardon me, Roger?
I think GW is going to be here. They're being exhibited.
Okay, so you could all go ahead and check out the SenseView. I'll tell you what my personal opinion is. I personally think that the portables are something that people get excited about. They're very happy about it. But it really is something that I think, you know, for the money that you're spending, I think that there's other types of technology that you could actually get more effective use. Okay. What we find is that, you know, for $800, it is something that will allow you to read a menu or a few things like that. But if you're going to say, are these things as efficient as being able to read with a full-size CCTV or even just getting something such as a scanner, buying a scanner and using OmniPage or some of these other types of over-the-counter types of software programs, you know, I think there's other ways that you could use your money more efficiently. Now, we have done a lot of testing on the different types of technology, and Andy Crowder this morning or this afternoon did speak about the Zoom X, and we are very, very pleased with it. We think that the advances in terms of with the speech, now that they're using the SAPI 5 speech engines, it really makes it something that is very, very helpful. But again, the cost of it is something that is quite expensive for a lot of people. But I think what you also need to consider when you are purchasing or if you are considering purchasing something that would scan, such as the Zoom X, remember that the Zoom X also has a CCTV built into it. In other words, if you wanted to sign checks, or if you wanted to look at photographs, or if you were going to go ahead and put something that's going to be like a top ramen package, something that's irregular underneath it, you can use it as a CCTV. So in many ways, you're getting both a scanning system, such as OpenBook and Kurzweil, as well as a CCTV. So we've been very, very pleased with it. Now, one of the caveats that really has to be understood by all of you, if you are interested in purchasing this, it is critical that you test it on your computer first. Because many of the computers, if you're going to buy a computer that's a couple years old, a lot of times they just don't have the processing speed and they just don't perform as quickly as you're going to see with some of the newer types of computers. We also find that, again, it's very, very helpful to have 2 gigs of RAM. Okay, the RAM is very, very important for this. And we also find that, again, if you're going to be looking at a notebook computer, the graphics card. If you're going to be purchasing a new notebook computer for yourself, you really want to be looking at some of the gaming types of computers, the computers that are going to have that type of cache that really works very well for people who play a lot of video games. Now, we've also have found a lot of changes in the areas of different types of scanning programs. We know that Freedom Scientific is coming up with an upgrade with their open book, and this past year, Kurzweil has improved their particular program, so it does have that capability of scanning forms. So that might be something that you want to take a look at as a Kurzweil 1000 for the forms. But I think that the thing that I found for myself to be very, very helpful as I look at the technology are, you know, what are the things that really just work in my everyday life? Even though there's a lot of these things that work very well, Sue Sweetman was kind enough to let me use a Braille Note M-Power and got the Sendero GPS, and I have all of these different types of things. In a lot of ways, even though this kind of technology is great, a lot of times it's just a bit more cumbersome than what I would like. So I would say as I've lost my vision and I can't read things when I write it with a Sharpie or a Marxit Lot or a 20/20 bold pen, I need to take down telephone numbers. And one of the things that I found to be very helpful are just these portable little pocket digital voice recorders. I think this is the thing that I use the most often and for the best bang for the buck. What I've found is that right here I have a little Olympus, and it's about the size of a cigarette lighter. And this is I think it's called the T4100. It's $39. It's something that the buttons are very, very easy to feel. It gives you the ability to have four different folders, so I could record voice messages for when I'm working at the Braille Institute. They go in folder number one. When I'm at the Center for the Partially Sighted, our Los Angeles office, that's in folder number two. When I'm in our San Fernando Valley office, that's folder number three. And then for personal things, it's folder number four. So, you know, for about $39, it gives you that capability to be able to record these types of voice messages, and it's something that's very, very convenient and portable. On the other hand, I also have I have used the Victor Stream, and I think it's fantastic. It is a little more expensive, but for those of us who really have difficulties with using an iPod, I think that the Victor Reader Stream is a very, very good type of an MP3 player, because you can pop in and out the SD cards. It's also a different type of a voice recorder. So for about $329 or so, I think that's a tremendous option. When it comes down to using cell phones and the different types of cell phone technology, when my vision was a little better, you know, right around January this year, I bought the Jitterbug cell phone. Many of you might be aware of the Jitterbug, but Jitterbug is an independent cell phone company. And what happens is that, you know, you do have to order this cell phone by phone, but the service I felt was really good. Basically, it's $149 for the phone, and you could buy different types of plans. I bought a $10 a month plan, and I purchased extra minutes. I bought $100 worth of extra minutes. And what they do for you is that they will put in 15 telephone numbers along with the names for you, so that with a Jitterbug phone, when you flip the phone open, you have that ability to go ahead and either dial the numbers with a large print numbers, or number two, you can press a button and say, call, you know, call the Braille Institute, or call Bernice, or call whoever that you put in those 15 numbers. And the service has been fantastic. Oh, and what I mean by service is that the ability to remain connected. In Los Angeles, there's a lot of areas here where there's a lot of dead spots. And like, for example, I had a lot of problems with T-Mobile, and I had a lot of problems with Singular. And I've been very, very pleased with Sprint. But I find that with the Jitterbug, it's just been equally good as the Sprint. And I think that they actually are using some of the similar types of cells. They also have another type of a phone that I did get for my dad. You know, my dad, he just has a hard time with these cell phones. So I got him the three-button Jitterbug. And with that, there's three buttons only on there. So when he flips it open, there's one button that's a 911 button. There's another button that could be programmed to whoever, and in this case it was programmed to me. And then the third button is one that goes to the Jitterbug operator. And in that case, when you dial that button to the Jitterbug operator, they can make that phone call for you. So that was something that worked very, very well for, you know, me as a low vision person. I was very, very pleased with it. I also have a Sprint phone, and I did get a Sprint phone. This is a work phone, and I did get something that's called the voice command. And the voice command allows you to input this type of information. You could do 500 names along with their home phone, their work phone, their cell phone, and another phone. So you can actually put in like 2,000 different phone numbers. And what's nice about it is because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we lose our phone or it gets stolen, or, you know, you put it in your shirt pocket and you lean over and then you drop it in the sink and it gets ruined. So the nice thing about it is that you don't have to reprogram all of those telephone numbers and things back in there because it's all on the computer. And there's another good thing is that it's very, very accessible with JAWS. I found it to be very easy to incorporate all these different features and put it into there. So the voice command is $5.95 extra a month is what that costs for the voice command. Now, in terms of for those of you who really want to be able to do text messaging or have some GPS capability with the Sprint phones, you could also get something that's called a Motorola Q. So the Motorola Q is a smartphone, and that works with both Sprint and Verizon. And so these do have the pull-out keyboard, so you could text message and you could do your email and things. And then what you're going to do is you have to download or you have to purchase a Mobile Speak smartphone. It's a separate software. I think it's right around $300. So once that's loaded, then you could actually use both Sprint or Verizon. And I think the important thing to remember then is when you are going to get a cell phone, even though there's all these different types of technological software that's available, you really want a phone that's just going to have good connectivity. You don't want it to be dropping cell phone calls and things. So overall, if you are a Verizon user or a Sprint user and you really want the cream of the crop, the Motorola Q and the Mobile Speak Smart cell phone software is something that works real well. If you just really want to check out to see who is calling you, you know, you want to get this kind of talking caller ID, Verizon also has something. There's a couple of LG. And these are phones that work really well. I think it's the LG 4650. And so that's the type of a phone that when a call is coming in, it will say who is calling. Or it's also going to repeat the numbers as you're pressing in some of these types of numbers. But it doesn't really work very well as you're getting further into some of those other types of menus. Now, AT&T, they do have there are different types of cell phones that have that ability to be downloaded with special software such as Tox, but they also have a really good bargain. There is a specific telephone number that you could call through Singular, and they do have their 6620. And the 6620 phone comes with a very basic version of Tox built in. And so for $199, you get the phone. You also get the software, and this will be the type that, again, it'll allow you to be doing different types of text messaging. What this basic Tox does not have, it does not have any kind of GPS features and such. So I have a lot of these telephone numbers and how you can get these things. I did email it to Bernice, but I might have got it a little bit too late, so maybe a little bit later Bernice could forward it to some of you there. Okay. So are there any questions so far on some of these different types of cell phones or any questions so far on these things?
I just wanted to say that they're about to deploy. What they announced at our July convention is that they are going to offer an array of phones instead of one phone. And they're supposed to be bringing out three phones sometime this fall. We're waiting any minute for the announcement. So
yeah, so...
They'll have a low end and a high end and something that's
smartphone.
A PDA kind of thing.
Yeah. So what Bernice was just mentioning is that AT&T, they're really dedicated to help the visually impaired population. And, yeah, they did announce that they are going to have it available in the stores so that we could actually touch and feel. And they'll have different phones available this fall. I think a very low-end phone, a moderately priced phone, and then the smartphones are the ones that you could do text messaging and emailing and those sorts of things as well. Okay. Any questions on the phones?
Also, they're switching from Tox to Mobile Speaking.
Okay, any questions on that? Okay, so here's the last thing that I wanted to talk about are, what are just some of the real cheap, a lot of people don't have the funds, or we see a lot of our high school and junior high school patients that do come into our office and they really can't afford things that are very, very costly. Well, we do know that there's a lot of agencies that do collect computers. And again, what we do recommend is that we do recommend that the computers are still using Windows XP rather than Vista. We just find that it's a little bit easier to navigate. And Freedom Scientific, they do have the free download of JAWS, which does work for about 45 minutes until you have to reboot the computer. So a lot of people who have low vision, they're able to go ahead and they can use JAWS. And then with using JAWS and a scanner, we often recommend the CanaScan LIDE90. It's a very, very thin, scanner. And it's something that will be powered by the USB cord, so you don't have to plug in any electrical outlets. And so a person who's using a notebook computer, they could carry that along with a scanner. So that does come with a version, a basic version of OmniPage. So even with that, a person could scan it, it'll be converted into OCR, and then they could use some of the more powerful features of JAWS. So right around $100, a person can actually have some type of a scanning type of a system. We have also evaluated a couple of different types of magnification software programs. One of them is something that is actually there for free. So there's different types of versions that people can actually use, a screen magnifier, or they can actually try some of the different types of downloads for a limited time. Now, what we also have come across is there's other different types of foundations. So, for example, there's a Change of Life Foundation. When you have clients, or if you are a person who cannot retrieve some of these different types of technological devices that you really need for work or school, you may be entitled to a scholarship through the Change a Life Foundation, along with us at the Center for the Partially Sighted. So you could give us a call and we could try to assist you in that. And these are scholarships for up to about $7,000 or $7,500. And when all other means have been exhausted and you cannot obtain the different types of technology, the Change a Life Foundation may also be something that would be available to help. Okay. Other things that we have found to be very, very helpful are we see that a lot of the different types of schools, you know, we see different schools where there's different organizations where some of the students, as part of a community service, they collect a lot of the different types of MP3 players because everybody wants iPods. So we often will collect a lot of the MP3 players that are using the SD card. And with this, people could download their books and actually listen to it onto MP3 players that were able to give that to them for free. So there's a lot of different alternatives. And what I think it's important to remember is just because a technology is new and because a technology is fancy and very, very, you know, state of the art, it doesn't always mean that it's the best solution for a lot of the patients. Sometimes things that are a little more basic or more fundamental could be a little bit easier. The other thing that I think is also important to stress to a lot of the young people who are visually impaired or totally blind is to remember to get the education. We find so many times that people come and they feel that this technology is going to be something that gets them a job. In other words, they could get JAWS, they could get Magic, they could get Kurzweil, they could get the latest ZoomText keyboard, they want the Sendero GPS with the Braille note and all of these things. But when we then have them try to type a letter, they don't even understand the basic concepts of basic grammar. Or they just really have not really even experienced the understanding of how a computer works. And I think that for myself, people say, well, how did you learn to use JAWS so quickly? Or how do you use Kurzweil and Open Book? Well, part of it is because I was familiar with how a computer works, or, you know, the menus, that there's a file menu, and under file you got edit, view, print, you know, copy, and, you know, all of these different things. I was aware of these things before, and I saw these things before, so I could visualize, as I'm using JAWS, what to do next. But for a person who has never seen or a person who has never used some of these types of Windows-based products, they really need the education to get that type of exposure. So at this point in time, what we thought we'd do is, do any of you have any specific questions about, you know, certain things that are giving you problems in your daily life? And maybe we could come up with what we feel might be some of the technology. Any questions? I appreciate your time. And again, if you do have any types of questions, please feel free. You could call us or you could email us. My email is bill@drbillfoundation.org. That's bill@drbillfoundation.org. Or you could call Dr. Nagatani or myself at 310-458-3500. 0101. And if you have other colleagues or clients or friends or yourself, if you do need CCTVs or computers or scanners or even some of the portables, at the Center for the Partially Sighted, we often get a lot of these types of equipment that are donated to us. A lot of times other patients, they want us to sell it for them. So a lot of times we're selling CCTVs for $300, $400, $500. A lot of times we're giving these types of devices away. We have a rental program for CCTVs. We give away a lot of computers. We give away a lot of notebook computers and things. So anytime that you do run across something that you might need, feel free to give us a call and we'll see how we can help.
Dr. Bill.
Yes.
You didn't mention Supernova, and the only reason I bring it up is that I understand there was sort of an informal throwdown at the CSUN conference, and that Supernova won hands down over the other two, Magic and... Was somebody there?
No, I'm just a Supernova user.
Uh-huh. Over that or
yes. I personally, I use Supernova. I have Supernova at my home, and it was something that I was very, very pleased to use. It was very, very easy to use. I think that right now, in Southern California, the main limitation in terms of our recommendation of a lot of these different types of software and a lot of the other types of technology, I think it's very different. I think in Northern California, there's a lot more technical support. I think that it's a little bit different. As far as down here in Los Angeles and such, we really don't see that there's that type of support or training classes and things readily available. Even in the field of just different types of software, down here, ZoomTex is really number one. I think a lot of it is because there's so much training that's available at the Junior Blind of America, or the Foundation for the Junior Blind, the Braille Institute. There are a lot of classes that clients can take to learn ZoomTex. Number two, with the development of the ZoomTex keyboard, that has really reduced the amount of training time for people. So no longer do they have to memorize, Control-Shift-C or Control-Alt-Shift-D to do a lot of these different functions. So I do know that a lot of the different companies are in the process of developing the keyboards, which will really make things easier for the learning. Freedom Scientific, for example, this coming Friday, there's actually going to be a training to the major trainers down here. So there's going to be a major training session to teach people how to use the latest version of Magic. But I think that once there's going to be more techs available and more training seminars, I think that Supernova, HAL, Dolphin, all of those products would be much more available and much more well accepted down here. What we find is that many times a lot of the counselors, when we do make some of these recommendations, a lot of times they say, well, I would prefer if it were going to be that we would use ZoomTex or something because there's so many more people who are available to do the training. Okay, but no, I think they're very good programs. Okay. Pardon me, what about JAWS? Yeah, what question do you have about JAWS?
Well, is it not as popular as ZoomTex, or not as
okay. Yeah, there are two different types of programs. What we find is that most people who use ZoomTex, these are people who are partially sighted and they still have some vision where they could still use their vision to navigate the screen. And they will use the voice component of ZoomTex if their eyes are getting tired. On the other hand, JAWS is something for people who are totally blind or people who really cannot use their vision to access the information on the screen. I would say that in Southern California, in the Los Angeles area, I think that JAWS is probably the most popular software program available right now. And I think the number two would then be the Dolphin products. This is for the screen readers.
But what about Window Eyes?
And I would say Window Eyes is probably number three. Okay? And I honestly think, I think it's just like with anything. I remember my grandmother when she's cooking and she would do everything with a wok. She just thinks, the wok is the greatest thing. And that's what she grew up with. She was familiar with it. On the other hand, my wife, she needs a Teflon and all these other things. It's got to be Martha Stewart. So I think all of these programs, I really can't say that any of these programs are bad. That's what I would say. any of them are really going to be helpful. But whatever it is that you feel comfortable with or that you have learned on, you've been trained on, it becomes ingrained. It's just something that you feel comfortable with. So overall, I think the important thing that what we try to say to our patients is you really want a company that's going to be strong. Unfortunately, we have had a lot of our patients that have purchased products and the companies have either gone bankrupt or they've gone out of business or they've offered a certain type of a warranty and they didn't, you know, hold up to that. So I think that there are companies that are going to be strong, and we do know that, you know, Window Eyes and Freedom Scientific and Dolphin, these are companies that have been around for a very, very long time. If you go to Europe, you know, everything is a Dolphin line. If you go back east, it's Window Eyes. So it's just, you know, everything is good. So, okay. And where do you live?
Santa Rosa.
Okay. You know, I don't know quite exactly what's available right in that Santa Rosa area. Down here in Los Angeles, you know, with the Braille Institute and the Center for the Partially Sighted, people with macular degeneration, they could see the latest in the line of magnifiers all around. They could also see all of the electronic technology. So even some of these things like the electronic technology, if you do need a higher level of magnification, we do have something that's like a, it's like a chalkboard eraser that you hold in your hand, and there's a cord and it plugs right into your TV. And for $200, it is something that will allow you to be able to read even very, very small print. So it's something that is very, 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 very basic. It's something that's very easy to use, and these are things that are readily available. Okay. Was there a couple more questions?
I was just wondering. I'm from the Bay Area, and I was wondering whether your low-cost, and you were talking about low-cost computers or different products, is it just limited to people down here? Or do you ever deal with people up in Northern California?
No, we have given things away to children in different countries and people who come down, and if they need it and we have it, we'd be happy to give it away, or if it's something that's going to be set for sale. So just give us a call and we'll see what we can do to help you. We'll put you on a waiting list if you could just let us know what it is exactly that you're looking for. Any other questions?
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and I'm from San Diego. We have a very small CCB affiliate, the San Diego Braille Club. There's about 20 of us. Can all of our members come up for a field trip to your facility? Or do you do things like that?
Yeah. Did you say that you work at San Diego La Jolla?
No, I did not. We're a CCB affiliate. The San Diego Braille Club is our name.
Oh, okay. I thought you were part of the Braille Institute of San Diego.
No.
Yes. If you'd like to make a visit to either the Braille Institutes, the Center for the Partially Sighted, any of these types of things, please contact me and we can arrange that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, we thank you very much for your attention, and if you have any questions, please feel free to give us a call. And those portable video magnifiers, sorry to say, but they're not door prizes.
Yeah, be sure you get them in tow. I want to thank Dr. Takeshita and Dr. Nagatani for coming this afternoon. I know they had to cancel some teaching obligations and whatever to be with us, so we really appreciate them coming. Okay. We have a very brief business meeting, and I would like Barbara Cron, are you in the room?
Yes.
Do you have a microphone there? There's a table mic. Why don't you go ahead with minutes?
Okay. The meeting was called to order by President Bernice Kandarian at the Hilton Arden West Hotel in Sacramento, California on April 12, 2007. Minutes were read and approved as read. Treasurer's report was given and approved as read. President's message. President's message report was given by President Kandarian. Volunteers are needed for several committees. We also need an editor for the CCLV Chronicles. President Kandarian announced that elections would be the next meeting. The meeting was adjourned at 5:45 p.m.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as read? Second. Okay. Any discussion, additions, deletions, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as read, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And abstentions? Okay, thank you, Barbara. Donna, are you on my left here? Do you have a microphone? Okay, well, treasurer's report, Donna.
The balance forward is from the last time, which was, what date? 4/14/07. Was $3,567.20. And we had donations of $5. And then we have membership dues of $194. So the total income is $199. Expenses, we had a $55. I didn't know what to put down on this one. Fee, we are paying for somebody's table, right? Yeah. Exhibit table. And then a miscellaneous. There was a problem. I didn't balance with the bank, and so in order to correct it, we had to subtract $2. And then reimbursements of $50. That's for Bernice and I to go to presidential dinner last convention. So the total expenses was $103. And so that means the closing balancing to the bank as of just a couple of days ago, $3,663.20. That's my report.
Do I hear a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
What was the cents? How many cents?
How many cents was on that? 3 cents. How many cents was on the on the figure?
20 cents.
20 cents.
Thank you.
Okay. And 20 cents. Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the treasurer's report? Okay. Any? Sure.
I have applications for next year. We'll be starting to collect our dues for 2008, and I believe that it's now $15 instead of $17.
That's a real bargain. Things don't normally go down these days. okay. All of those in favor of accepting the treasurer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstentions. Thank you, Donna. And thank you, Barbara, both very much. I wanted to give a quick update on the national convention. It was a little tricky this year. On Friday morning, I received a phone call from Bill Bergender from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, saying that he was not going to make it to the convention in time to help Barbara with the mixer. And then on Saturday morning, I received a phone call from Jane saying that Barbara had fallen in the lobby of the hotel and broke her arm in three places. So Bernice was off to the grocery store to pinch hit. But we had a very lively program covering a wide variety of topics, and you should all be receiving Vision Access, and the editor Joyce Kleiber has tried to cover much of what was discussed at the convention in the Vision Access. Let me see here now. Old business, and then we'll go to new business. We need program ideas, and I really would like somebody to try to help get us some program speakers and whatever for the spring convention, which will be in Sacramento at the Arden West Hilton Hotel again, and it's about the middle of April. Is there anyone in the room that would like to volunteer, or you can either say so now or contact me. Who's that? Okay, great.
Who is that?
Beryl.
Oh, okay. I know her.
anybody else? Because we do Thursday programming. Friday, Gene Lozano takes care. He and I work on that one together, and then Saturday morning. Okay, let's go on with what we did. Sharon Toji, who is from Irvine here in Orange County, was at the national convention. We've known Sharon for a long, long time. She's very into signage of all kinds, Braille and large print signage. And she is gathering research data for a project that she's working on. And so I told her we would invite her to this convention, and we decided to, she needed two tables. One table, you know, is $30, an additional table is $25. So we got her a booth with two tables so that she can have all of her research materials there. And we would like as many of you as possible to stop by the exhibit hall on both, she'll be there both Friday and Saturday, and participate in her survey to help with the statistics that she's trying to gather. Our Friday morning program with the Committee on Access and Transportation is on the topic of calling the bus stops, which ones are you know, how do you determine what stops get called and that sort of thing. And it's a hot topic at the moment, so I would like to invite all of you to attend and give input to that. If you were here earlier for the technology program, the lady that was talking about the ZoomX product was going to speak to us on Saturday morning, and she, as you now know, is not going to be at the convention. However, Sharon Toji will be doing a presentation on Saturday morning about what all that she's doing. So please come and join us with the combined program with the CCB Seniors with Vision Loss Committee. One of the things I have under new business is last time we voted to give a $25 door prize to CCB, and would we like to do that again? Chair would entertain a motion if somebody feels we would like to do that. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of a $25 door prize donation to CCB, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. And abstentions. Thank you.
You forgot the checkbook? Oh, okay.
Yeah, cash, and get reimbursed. Okay. Okay. We desperately need to get our CCLV Chronicle back up and running. And is there anybody in the room that's interested in working on that? What we really need is somebody to gather materials and put them together. The actual printing and mailing, I can help with that, but I would need I really need somebody that can put the document, you know, compile the information, put it together. Do we have anyone? We really need to do that. Do I hear her? Anybody over there? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll keep working on that. Okay. Okay, what I wanted to talk about elections. We don't have a formal nominating committee, but there are some people who have asked to be replaced or relieved of their current positions, and one of them is our secretary, and Susan Hyatt said that she would be willing to serve as secretary. So I guess we're having a little election now. Is there any Susan is willing to do it? Is there anybody else that has a burning desire to be secretary? If not, the chair would like to entertain a motion.
I move that Susan Hyatt be elected secretary.
Okay. Okay. Don't think we have discussions on elections. So all of those in favor of Susan Hyatt for secretary, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposition? I don't think I did that right, did I? Okay. Thank you, Susan, very much for your willingness to serve. And thank you, Barbara, for many years of serving as our secretary. I know when she broke her arm, it became pretty hard to write since she was right-handed.
Yeah.
Okay, and Donna Sanchez, our treasurer, oh boy, I don't know what I'm going to do without her, has asked to be relieved of the duties as treasurer. And Joel Isaac has said that he would be willing to help us out in that area. Joel, are you still here?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you spell the last name?
Isaac. And so let's see. Is there anyone else that has a burning desire on this position? I didn't think so. Okay, all those in favor I guess I didn't ask for, did I get a nomination? Do I hear a motion? So moved? Okay. All of those, Donna says she didn't know whether she said it, but she's saying it. Okay, all of those in favor of electing Joel Isaac to serve as secretary, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Oh, treasury. I'm sorry, Joel. I'm not awake. Okay, are those opposed? And abstentions. Okay, Joel, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. And as you know, Joel is he came to the fall convention last year, and we've had him running in circles doing all kinds of things. So we really appreciate him. Okay, now there is Mary Beth Randall in the room? No? Okay. Are there any announcements? Nobody has anything to contribute? Okay. One of the things that I want to encourage people to do is you're always willing to submit articles to the Vision Access, or to, if you have materials that would be appropriate for the CCCLV Chronicle, We want to encourage you to, you know, write about your experience about a piece of technology or your experience, something that you've experienced because of your low vision or whatever. We would love to hear from you. Is there any other business? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Okay. All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you for staying for the meeting, and I will see you in Sacramento for sure. And I think I got us out of here in good time for everything else that we need to do today.